I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to Life in the Mundane,
the podcast that is not afraid to tackle the difficult topics in marriage and parenting from a biblical perspective in hopes of encouraging you to make the most of the little moments in these important relationships.
Join us each week as we share advice from our unique perspective as second-generation homeschoolers who got married young, had 6 kids in 9 years, and have been through many ups and downs over the last 13 years of marriage.
We know that navigating these relationships is not easy, but we also know that if God has called you to it, He will equip you for it. Hi, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, guys. Today, we are continuing our season on sharing what God has been teaching us over the past year. Today, we're specifically going to be looking at the spiritual aspect, looking at kind of how family worship has been going with our family, touching a little bit on our personal devotions and our times discipling our kids, but honestly sharing with you guys a lot of the things that went wrong, a lot of our struggle in this year, and also sharing the things that went right and what we've learned from that.
Yes. So first, though, we felt like we needed to define what is family worship. And really, it's somewhat self-explanatory. It's parents leading worship in their home for their family on a regular basis. This is not just a Sunday morning worship. This is not a personal devotion. It is the parents leading their children, leading their family in worship together.
With this, you know, while explicitly in scripture, it doesn't say, thou shalt have family worship on a daily basis, it does talk a lot about our responsibility of parents, of teaching and training our kids, of worshiping God with our kids. And this is a very intentional time in a way that we fulfill that command. But Mark, do you want to read a couple of the verses that talk about this?
Yeah, the first one is Psalm 78, 1 through 4, where the psalmist says, give ear, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings from old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. This is an example of, all right, we've received these things from our fathers. We have the Bible. We have scriptures that have been passed down to us. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we're not hiding them from our children. We are expressing them, exploring them with our children so that they have an understanding of them.
Yeah, and Deuteronomy 6:6-7 is probably one of the more famously known verses talking about training your kids up in the Word. But for those who are not familiar with it, Mark's going to read that.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. I said, this is just another prime example of God telling us, God commanding His people, and through the scripture, us, that we need to be teaching these things that God has given us, teaching this, because this was given to the people of Israel right after God gave them much of the law, much of what His commands were for them to live. And that's what the Bible is for us.
And the thing is that, you know, I know some people will say, well, there's no need for family worship because we talk about God all throughout the day. And that is definitely true. We are called to talk about God constantly. And we do so in our homeschool. We do so within our home when we're driving somewhere, when we're having moments of discipline, whatever that is, we are talking about God with our kids and we're having this ongoing conversation. But there is a difference between ongoing conversations and talking about God and spending that time dedicated in reading scripture and understanding scripture, going into praying together as a family and singing praises to God as a family. It's just a more intentional way to do that. And while it's not commanded that it must be daily, it's a good practice for it to be daily.
Well, and making sure that it is out of scripture. It's funny, the family was just listening to a audio drama where someone was misquoting the Bible because, well, I don't need it. It's been passed down. Like my parents just told me what was in it. I don't need to read it. But without reading directly from the Bible, without that direct learning from what scripture says, there can be confusion and misconceptions that can happen easily.
And it's a great opportunity to train our kids in how to understand the Bible.
Yes.
Because there is this misconception out there that this is something that, you know, you just hand your kids a Bible and you tell them to read and they're good to go. And there is, you know, there's methods that they need to learn. There is making sure to compare scripture against scripture and not taking things out of context and praying and seeking wisdom in these things. So I think it's a beautiful thing all the way around to do. And it's something that we have always sought to do, but we have shared in past previous podcast seasons that it is not something we've always done well or consistently. It's been a struggle at different points over the years, but in the past couple of years, it's become much more normal, much more regular, much more consistent till this year.
Yes, this year, with all of these crazy points in our life coming together, with our daughter's medical needs kicking up, me going to school, Katie doing more business, all the things, and when then all our kids are all getting older and they all have their own social lives and calendars, and it's become more of a challenge for us to get together to do family worship. And we let our busy lives dictate when we would do family worship rather than making family worship dictate the other portions of our life, because our time in the Word should not be something that is let go so easily.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing when we were looking back over this past year and we're like, what was the struggle? Like, what? Why was this year so much harder? And it really is not that we were necessarily busier. It was that, yes, there was a lot going on, and there's always a lot going on over at our house, but it was very much like what you said. We let it take the back burner. There was more deadlines when it came to like Mark's school and things, or with doctor's appointments, and we let those get in the way. And I think that I think we kind of fall into this misconception a lot of times that we assume that like any habit, like let's say brushing your teeth or making sure you go for a walk in the morning, that you're going to eventually do it so often that your body just kind of goes into autopilot and you don't have to think about it anymore. You're just going to fall into the routine, and it's going to happen the same way with your Bible reading and being in God's Word. But I think that discounts a major factor.
Yes, there is spiritual warfare going on. I mean, the devil does not want you to understand what God's Word is, because if he can keep you and, more importantly, your children from understanding God's Word, that's how you can lose an entire generation from knowing God. The easy explanation for us was we started having family dinner we weren't always sitting down for family dinner like we normally were because of one thing or another.
And that's very different. Like, we've always prioritized sitting down together as a family and having dinner since the beginning of our marriage. Like, that's been something that's been really important to us that we wanted to do and that we started instilling. But we had always attached, and I always talk about this when talking to anybody about creating a new habit, is anchoring a habit with something you're already going to do. So you know you're going to eat dinner. It's a given. So you know, connect that anchor of having family worship with having dinner, whether it's right after dinner, during dinner, whatever. And so we had done that, which worked great for many, many seasons. But now all of a sudden, it's becoming more of a struggle. Mark would have to finish up school projects, so he might have to eat dinner in his room. And honestly, it was funny because I found myself fighting really hard to get back to family dinners instead of fighting really hard to get back to family worship.
Yeah, and we've honestly found over the last really month and a half, as we've really been getting back into a good habit of family worship, that, I mean, our dinner schedule is still, I mean, we're not eating family dinner every night together like we would prefer to, but we're still getting that family connection point with family devotions.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, we kind of realized that while that system had worked well in the past, one of the things that had been a barrier is that we had not pivoted the plan. We had not taken, you know, something that we'd done in the past and made it work for the season of life that God's called us to. And we'll talk more about like how we did that here in a second, but we did have to get more creative. We did have to think about different times that we could do family worship and kind of breaking out of that mold. The other thing is we didn't necessarily have a clear plan when it came to what to do for family worship.
So in general, what we've done in the past is we've taken a book of the Bible and we've just gone and we've read a chapter, two chapters, three chapters, depending on how many. We read through them and we discuss them. We discuss them at different levels for our different children. So I'd ask our older children more in-depth and detailed thought-provoking questions that required them to work for it a little bit more and but also guided them on how to understand what each passage was saying. And for our younger kids, it was asking simpler questions, but just to help help encourage them to make sure they're paying attention to what's going on.
And a side note with that is that this has looked different in different seasons.
Yes,
so
it
we
has.
Do have three teenagers, or almost teenager. We have two teenagers and one that's about to be a teenager. And then we have some younger ones. And so with having older kids in the home, we do read longer sections, like whole chapters, sometimes two chapters or more, like Mark mentioned. But when they were all younger, a lot of times we would read just a small section or a paragraph or take things in smaller chunks. So it does look different. And another little tip, just throwing it in there, for when you are working with younger kids, having the same questions that you ask every night can be really helpful, even if it's a matter of like,
who, what, where, why.
Yeah, exactly. Who, what, where, why. What does this teach us about God? Like, having those same questions that you ask every single night helps them to kind of mentally prepare as they're listening. But that's a total side note. But I think there was another issue that was definitely getting in the way and was causing this to be more of a battle when it comes to doing family worship.
Yes. And oftentimes when Satan attacks, when we have that spiritual warfare, it's not going to come from one front. And for us, it was, we let our busyness with our family time get in the middle of family worship, but it also got in the way of Katie's and my personal time with the Lord, our personal devotions and personal worship. And again, like what we said with family worship, do we see in scripture an exact point of you must be reading every day? No. But what we do see is hiding God's word in our heart, knowing what it says, so that when the devil comes, we can combat him with what scripture actually says.
Meditating on it day and night.
Meditating day and night. We see examples. Well, we can't meditate on this day and night if we don't know it. We're not going to learn it unless we're studying it.
Well, and I think another factor here too is that, yes, it's not a checklist item. You know, it's not, we're not earning any kind of salvation or favor with God by doing this. It's not a sense of, oh, if you miss a day, you should have this major guilt trip or something like that. But it is a matter of, what is the heart attitude and why are we missing these things? If we're consistently not being in the word, but we're consistently finding time to be on social media or to play a game on our phone or to talk to our friends,
or like, even to read a book.
Yeah, there's problems there. And so I think that that's something that we had to unpack. And I want to clarify that it doesn't mean that we didn't have any personal devotions throughout the year. I actually read through the whole Bible in the first couple of months of the year. It's something I've done the past 2 or 3 years now. I think Mark did something similar.
I did an audio. I listened to a few chapters of the Bible every day on my way to work. And it was enough time that I was able to get through the Bible in about 6 months.
And so we were in the word, and there's nothing wrong with listening to the Bible and doing audio things. But I think it came from that heart attitude of like, did it fall into a checklist thing for us versus spending time in the word? Was there were seasons and moments all throughout the year where like I would be in it. Like I would be reading God's word. I would be praying over it. I would be meditating on it. I would really be sitting in it, allowing myself to be uncomfortable with what I was learning about my sin and about God. And yet there were also seasons where it was just like, okay, I read that. I have no idea what I just read. And so I think it's also about the quality, not just the quantity of personal devotion.
Well, I can consume a lot from audio, but I can also drift a lot with audio and not let it really sink in. And so while that's a helpful tool for me, it's one that I have to guard carefully and be very careful of.
Our time leading our kids in the word is going to be a natural overflow of our personal walk with the Lord. And it's hard to teach something that you don't have.
Yes.
Or hard to, kind of explain to them or share with them something that you didn't start out with to begin with. So I think that was a big thing. And I think the final thing that was noticeably harder this year is that I was struggling with how to help my husband to be accountable. You know, this is something that my husband leads. And obviously, if you are a single mom, or maybe your husband's not a believer or something like that, you may be leading family worship. But in our home, Mark is the one who leads that for the most part. And so I was struggling because I've shared in the past on this podcast how I went through a long season of being the nagging wife, of being the drippy faucet, of being like, you need to do this. You need to do this. And I learned a lot of things through that process, and I did not want to go back to that. And we've done episodes on this. So if you're struggling with that in this season, definitely listen to that. But I think in my desire to not be that nagging wife, I kind of went to another extreme. So I either A, would not mention anything about it, or B, I was not praying about it. I was not praying that God would put that on my husband's heart to start back up again. I was just kind of like, okay, I guess I just got to leave it alone, which is not the right perspective.
Well, and I did see a big difference in how you approached it, because there would be times where you were like, hey, can we do devotions? And my heart wasn't hard to where I felt like it was a nagging point. It wasn't a daily thing. It wasn't even necessarily a weekly thing. But when you brought it up, I didn't feel like you were nagging. I felt like, oh, this is a good reminder. Yeah, we should be doing this.
And that's after a lot of years of work on our communication and him knowing that if I'm saying something, it's coming from a good place and not a nagging or a disapproving place.
In the past, I always felt like if she was saying something, it's because she was judging me or because I was failing or because I was doing something wrong. And it's one of those, okay, some of those things might be true, but I don't think that's what she's actually saying. I think she's saying, hey, can we do devotions as a family? And I think for the most part, that's all she was saying. We did have a few successes. And one is we got into the routine of doing a more in-depth or more special Sunday afternoon devotions.
Yeah, and it really started, I was at the Teach Them Diligently conference last year, actually 2 years ago by the time you guys listened to this podcast, and I had come across the Not Consumed flip chart where they do a survey of the Old Testament and the New Testament. They have two separate ones, and I picked up the New Testament one. I thought, this looks really cool. It would take you through a book of the Bible. It would tell you about the author and who the audience was and the time period. It had a little bit about church history in there, a different missionary. Like, it just had a lot of cool information. I thought, this is really fun, and I wanted to incorporate it into my homeschool, was the original plan. Then when I brought it home, Mark was really excited and interested in it, and he was like, I want to do this. And I was like, oh, cool, awesome. But we couldn't quite figure out how to fit it in. So we did it a few times 2 years ago, but not consistently. And then this year, I don't even remember how it started.
Wow. I'm not sure either, but it ended up starting that this was what we did on Sundays. And I said Sunday afternoon earlier, really, and during the summer, oftentimes we did it Sunday morning when we didn't have Sunday school at our church. Mm-hmm. But we would take a portion of time on Sunday and we would sit and we would read through this. And it was a great overview of what each book of the New Testament was about. It gave about the author, what the theme of the book was, who it was talking to, and all these things. And we were able to talk with the kids. Question I always asked was when we started, because I'd have it sitting out all week and I'd tell the kids, look, if you want to look at this and study for the questions I'm going to ask, go for it. But I'd ask every week, all right, here's the book. Who do you think wrote it? Well, it's right there. They had a week to look at it.
And with the New Testament, a lot of times the answer was Paul, which the kids found funny whenever it wasn't.
Well, no, that's just it. Our 4 and 5-year-old who weren't reading would just automatically go, Paul! Because, especially once you get to the letters, most of them are written by Paul.
But it was a neat thing. It also goes through like key scriptures. So we would open up the Bible. We'd be getting in God's word because it's important that we weren't just learning about it. We wanted to be in scripture. And so we're reading those key elements. But the point was not even the study itself. It was just this setting aside a special time on Sundays where we would do a longer, more detailed study and in-depth thing. And we did something totally different than what we were doing Monday through Saturday. Now, it was interesting because we finished that now completely, and we've moved into a study about the names of God, which has been really good.
Yes, it's been great.
It's been really fun. And that one is geared a little bit younger. And so it's been fun to kind of alternate. We've sort of talked about alternating what kind of studies we do on Sundays as being ones that are maybe geared more towards older kids versus ones that are geared towards younger kids. Because the truth is, there's something to glean for everybody.
That's just it. Even if it's geared more towards younger, we will take and ask more in-depth questions mm-hmm. to the older ones, even though the material we're going off of is geared younger.
Mm-hmm. And then we've incorporated memorizing the Westminster Shorter Catechism with our kids as well during that time. But I think what's been also cool about that is we, at the same time that we started doing this Sunday family worship, what we'd do is we'd all come together and we would do our Sunday family worship all together. And then we would do sort of a break-off session. And Mark would take the older kids, the older three, and I would take the younger three. And we would go through a study that was more at their level with them.
I'm going through the youth version of Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Respectable Sins is one of my favorite Christian living mm-hmm. books. I've gone through it multiple times myself. I've helped lead a Bible study on it in our church. It's an excellent book on just, it's very convicting on the sins that we don't even necessarily realize or think about as being sins in our lives.
Yeah. And then I went through with the younger ones some different resources that I've gotten over the years. I've gotten some picture books on different missionaries. So each week I would take a different missionary. We would read through that. Once we finished up that whole series, we went through and started looking at some of the picture books from New Growth Press that deal with different issues like lying or stealing or, you know, being insecure, feeling like worrying or feeling like you're constantly failing. And so we started talking through those. And so we'd read through the book and there are scriptures in the back and discussion guides in the back. So we would kind of go through that. And this is something we did most of the year. And so even though we were struggling a lot in personal devotions, and even though we were struggling a lot in family worship Monday through Saturday, we pretty consistently did this. And I feel like God used that as like giving us that thirst back for getting into God's word. Like our kids were starting to look forward to it. We would look forward to it. And I think at that point when we started looking forward to it, we started to notice, okay, we can do this even with our busy schedules. Yes, Sundays we leave wide open. You know, Sundays are a day of rest for us. So we don't plan other things other than church and time as a family. But we could look and see, you know what? We can do this in the week. We find time to do other things. And so we started to adjust the plan. So what did that look like?
Yeah, so we started picking up some pre-made Bible studies and devotional studies. And while I love doing studying a book of the Bible and asking questions, having a scheduled devotional study or in topically is very helpful. And so we picked up some of the not consumed devotional studies and have used several of those. We have plans. I think we have studies picked up for the next, 6 months.
Yeah, we got their big feelings. I think it's what it's called, the big feelings box. And so it's got ones on anxiety and anger and worry. And like, so each month we'll be studying a different topic. And those are nice because they're geared towards your child's specific age. So they're very age appropriate. And what our kids are doing is they're actually using that as their personal devotion time. So in the morning during our school hours, they actually do the devotional as part of their school. They do it all by themselves or with the little ones. They get a little help from mom, but they do that devotions by themselves. Then in the evening, we come together and we do it again, but we use the parent's guide to go through it. So sometimes it's sharing new information that maybe the little ones hadn't heard or whatever, but they've all been pre-introduced to the topic. And we found, especially with our special needs kids, that has made a huge difference in their understanding and grasp, because it's not like we have a son with auditory processing disorder. So if it's the first time he's hearing this information, it's when we're sitting down for family worship, it can be really hard for him to hear the information, process it correctly, and be able to answer questions on it. But if he's read it earlier that morning and answered questions on it earlier that morning, it's much easier for him to get in it. And for other kids who don't have those struggles, it's just good. Repetition is excellent.
For him, especially, just caught off guard or trying to think of things in the moment. But we had a huge shift from them going, oh, I know this answer because I studied it this morning. Mm-hmm. And it's also neat because I'm comparing answers of what I answered. I'm comparing answers of what my three oldest children answered, what my youngest ones are coming up with. And we're getting different perspectives and getting to discuss them.
Well, and I also find that, like, you know, every family has that one kid who answers all the questions and has the answers to all the questions, maybe a faster processor. And we have that child, and we have children who are slower processors. And if they feel, even if we're not giving pressure, if they feel the pressure to like get their answer out quickly, we'll just like be like, never mind. And so I found that having them be able to go through the information ahead of time, and you can do this. This is not like a plug for Not Consumed. You can do this with a chapter in the book of the Bible. You could have them read that chapter in advance. And then, like you said, if you have a few questions you ask every night, they could be thinking through those answers and coming ready with that. It got them to the point where everybody got to share, and I wasn't just having one kid who kind of dominated that. But I think the other thing we started doing too is we looked at the fact that we needed to be intentional with timing when it came to family worship. So what we started doing, and has worked really well, is we always look at the week in advance on Sunday evening. Mark and I, we sit down, we just kind of look at what's the plan, what's the schedule. So within that conversation, we would have a conversation about like, okay, so Wednesday night we have this, this, and this. That means we're gonna need to make sure to do family worship in the afternoon when you get home from work, but then also having those conversations every evening the day before. So we'd be like, okay, tomorrow we've got plans to go to the grocery store and we've got to do this. And then we're going to meet up for a birthday party. So we need to make sure that we do devotions probably before we go to that church event tomorrow night. And so just kind of helping us to start thinking about that and being really intentional, knowing that it can't be at the same time every day in this season.
Yes. And that intentionality really is what made the difference. It was, we had to think through it instead of allowing it to happen for us.
And then bathing that in prayer too, and specifically praying for our family worship, praying that it would happen regularly, praying that it would be protected, and that it would be a valuable time, that it would be honoring to God, that it would be a good discipleship time with our kids, and recognizing this is a spiritual battle. And when you're going to battle, you have to prepare, and praying for that is a huge way that we do that.
Yes. And so just to wrap this up for us today, I'd like to look at two other scripture passages. The first one is 2 Timothy 3:10 through 16. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people, imposters, will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
This is the way we equip our kids. This is how we do it.
we can't train our kids, or we can't expect that they're going to pick up on all of this by osmosis, mm-hmm. or just expect that they're going to get all of the in-depth teaching that they need to be equipped for this in a once-a-week youth group program. I'm not dogging youth group programs, but to send them out into the world with an understanding, it needs to be a more regular teaching. Mm-hmm. Another one is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is just a great reminder to parents. And so I'm going to give a call out to dads out there, mm-hmm. to make sure that you are teaching and bringing up your children in the way of the Lord.
It's continuing to persevere through those hard things. You're going to fail. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have seasons where it doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go.
And this is spiritual warfare, because if Satan can keep our children from learning this stuff now, it'll be easier for him later.
Yeah. So all of that to say, we hope this has been helpful to see our struggle. We are far from perfect. And we've never claimed to be. But to see our struggle with this, to see that, you know, we go through seasons where things are harder, and don't let Satan have that foothold. We are going to put in the show notes links to several resources that can help with family worship. We actually have specific books. I think the one that's been most helpful is the one by Joel Beeke called Family Worship.
Yes, it's an excellent book.
And it's a how-to guide, but it's also like a literal guide of what to do. It's like read this, sing this, pray this kind of thing. So if you're looking for something beginner to help you with that, we highly recommend those resources. And like I said, I'll link to all of the ones we've mentioned so far in the show notes. But we hope that this can help encourage you, help to challenge you in this new year to put God first and to talk about him with your kids, to train them and to teach them and to be in worship together as a family.
Yes. So God's called us. We saw through all these scriptures, God's called us to teach our kids the way they should go, to teach them his word. So if God's called us to it, he'll equip us for it. Just as we like to say every podcast, he will equip you to teach your kids. And really, the best thing you can do is just start. Even if it's 5 minutes, start. And it can grow from there. But start small if that's what you need.
We'll see you guys on the next podcast.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful, we would love for you to share the podcast and leave a review, as it helps spread the word so that hopefully more families can be encouraged to make the most of the little moments in their marriage and parenting. Talk to you again next week. Bye.